Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Fast Cash Call with Craig and Don. This is Craig Picard. Don Goff, you on here?
Yes, I am.
All right. So tonight we have a special call in store for you, and tonight is a case study call. And you should have received the documents from the office. You would have received a case study along with a few other documents, including comparables, offer calculation sheet, and then a blank assignment contract. So what we're going to do tonight is go over this case study, make sure that you can get a good preview on how to view the comparables, how to determine what the after-repaired value is, determine what offer to make, and then what you need to do to assign the contract to be making some money. So that it sounds all simple, but at the end of the day, some of these things are what's stopping you from moving forward. It's probably stopping you from making offers. It might be stopping you from doing marketing because you're not really sure in some of these areas. So I want to make sure that we can go over things pretty crystal clear so that way when you have the right information, it's going to be a lot easier for you to make a quick decision and be able to move forward and capitalize on these deals that you're marketing for or should be marketing for anyway. So this case study is the 10 Bruce Drive case study. And in a moment, I'll go over the case study guide. Then Don will take you through the comparables. And then from there, we'll go into the analysis, figure out what we had to do there to determine a price. And then if there's a deal that we think we could wholesale, then we go through and we'll put together the assignment contract, you know, so you'll be able to get the property assigned and make some money. See if we can make $5,000 on this one. So that's the process we're going to go through. So get out your case study guide. If you don't have the case study guide and you're actually listening to this call, it's okay. Go ahead and continue to listen. It will be a little bit challenging as we go over the comps, but you'll still be able to get some great information. But you should have received, again, if you're invited to this call, you would have received an email providing you the documents, you know, for the call. So a seller calls you from one of your car signs with a house that they have for sale, and they are motivated to sell. You aren't sure of the after-repaired value, so you decide the best thing to do for this particular property is to wholesale it. You would like to make at least $5,000 wholesale fee. Please answer the questions below. So this happens quite a bit, or it should happen quite a bit, if you're not sure, you know, with great certainty what that after-repaired value is, and you're just, you know, wondering, is this, you know, maybe there's a limited number of comps. Maybe it is you've got some conflicting comparables. Maybe you've got some other sales of properties around it that are causing the price to potentially be going down, and you're just not sure. Whenever you're not sure, but you think this could be a good deal, get it under contract, wholesale or assign to another buyer. Let them be the ones to take the risk. That way you can get the sure thing, you know, $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, whatever it might be, and let them take the risk if they think it's worth it. So the information that the seller provided was property address, 10 Bruce Drive, North Smithfield, 3-bed, 1-bath ranch, 1,200 square feet of living space, 1-car garage, 31,000 square foot lot, about a 3/4 acre, and the seller has said they will not take any less than 148. So sometimes it's good when they can give you a hard line in the sand and say, hey, this is the number. If you can do it, you can do it. And I don't mind negotiating like that as long as that's actually the truth. You know, when they can take less, well, then maybe I pass on a deal, you know, where I could have got them a little bit lower. So make sure you're always asking, you know, is that the best you can do? Even if they just told you, yeah, the lowest I can go is that. Is that the best you can do? And, you know, by asking that, you know, after you ask them what their lowest price is and that's the best you can do, chances are that's probably the best that you're going to be able to get at that point. So property does need some repairs. It needs about $20,000 in repairs. We're not going to go over, you know, how we got to the $20,000 tonight. We'll just say that for the purposes of this case study that the property needs $20,000 repairs, you know, after we looked at it. I would certainly suggest that any of you that are, you know, actively pursuing properties, if you're not sure what the repairs are, have a contractor come with you. Get real solid numbers, especially if it's your first few deals. And again, they don't have to be, you know, laser perfect, you know, numbers, because again, you're going to wholesale it, and you know, everybody's going to have a little different number on what they think things cost anyway. So in here, we've got determine the after repaired value. Your realtor provides you with the comparable properties that are currently active, pending, or have sold. Don's going to go over those in a moment, and it is important that you look at all three. But, you know, really there's only one of those, and Don will touch on that. That is the most important and paramount of that, you know, those documents that you will see. Select the three comparables you will use to determine the after repaired value. And remember, the ARV is the price that you think your cash buyer will be able to sell the property for after the rehab is all complete. So it'll be the retail price. A couple of questions to get answered here. Number one, based upon the comparables provided, what properties would you use as comps, and what is the ARV? So there's in some cases there's only going to be a limited number of comps. This one had a fair amount of comps, but which ones? I mean, some of them may appear to be comparable, and there may be some reasons why they are or are not. Which ones were the closest to what we were trying to do, and then how did you come up with that price? What is the maximum price you can pay for the property, and would you get the property under contract at the price the owner will accept? So at that 148, does that number make sense? And how do you fill out the assignment contract? Assume the following: the seller is Margie Sale, you are Integrity Real Estate LLC, and the cash buyer is Vector Properties. Some other assumptions: holding period 6 months. It's always a good idea to factor in 6 months of holding costs. Some things may only take 2 months or 3 months, but for some reason it could get delayed. You could have a building inspection issue. You could have a supplies issue. You could have a contract issue. You could just have, you know, yourself a personal issue, whatever it might be that could hold it up. Just bank on 6 months being the time frame. Funding: private money loan at 12% interest, no points, and the lender pays 75% of the after repaired value. Interest calculation: 75% of the ARV, multiply by the interest rate, divide by 2, since you'll only be holding it for 6 months. The profit: cash buyer wants to make $20,000 in profit. Realtors in the area are getting 5% commission to sell properties. Assume the rehab number the seller gave you is accurate and use the rules of thumb below for your analysis. Closing cost of purchase, $2,500. Closing cost to sell, $1,500. Insurance, $1,800. Utilities, $1,200. So those are the basic, you know, rules of thumb, the guidelines that you're going to use. That's the case study. So, you know, having that kind of information, you know, now, you know, it seems like it at least meets the criteria to review the deal and start to do some analysis. And really that analysis is going to start with the top line number. You know, what do we think this is worth after? Because if it's only worth 148, you know, we're going to be in trouble. But we're hoping that it's going to be worth a lot more. And most of the time, you're going to know without even looking at comps. Once you get into an area, once you get to know things, you're going to know right away, you know, is this even in the ballpark? And so for many of you, you know, or all of you, you don't really know. You don't know this area. You don't know what those comps are going to look like before. So you don't know what that three-bed, one-bath ranch, 1,200 square feet goes for, you know, in that town. But if you did work that town, this is something you really do want to know. So that way on the phone, you can know right away and, you know, and be out there as quick as possible to get the property under contract. So at this point, I'll have Don go over the comparables, and then we'll figure out which ones we're going to use and what price we think it'll sell for at the end.
All right, great. Thanks, Greg. So let's go through those comparables. So there's an attachment that you should have received that has all the comparables in it, and we're just going to go through them one by one. I'm going to give you a little bit of a refresher on what we look at when we're looking at comps. And one of the main things, or the number one thing, is they need to be sold. So a lot of time your realtor or agent is going to provide you comparables, and you want to get the active, pending, and solds. But when we're doing it, we always want to start off with the solds first, and that's what we're going to base our after repair value on, because we really don't know what the pending ones or the active sold for. We know what the list price was when it went under contract, but we don't know what that final number was. But we'll continue to follow those properties, because you might find that they close a couple days after that you have your property under contract. But we always need to look at the solds first. That way we don't get our numbers skewed or our mind skewed with looking at the actives and start justifying a higher price. So when looking at these comps, what we need to do is compare apples to apples. So if it's a 3-bed, 1-bath ranch with a 1-car garage, then that's what we want to use for comps. Our subject property has to be the same as the comp or better. So if our property is better then, and all the other comps aren't as nice as ours, then we know we can at least get what those other comps or other people are getting for comps. So we provide you with some major attributes of the home: how many bedrooms, how many baths, how many square feet, because these are the major major features that will affect the after repair value. And same thing with the garage. Does it have zero garages, 1-car, 2-car? I know when I was buying my own personal home, I wouldn't even look at a property unless it had a 2-car garage, because I wanted the 2 cars to be able to go into the garage. So, you know, it's a more desirable property for a lot of people. Some people, if you're, you know, we're in the Northeast, and other parts of the country might not be as big of a deal, but that's why you want to compare apples to apples, because that's your buyer and that's your buying pool, people that are buying the same type of property. So for the first one, we're going to start off with 620 Black Plain Road in North Smithfield, and we're going to start right at the top of the sheet and work our way down. And then as we do that, then I'm going to show you how we're going to go through things a little bit quicker. But let me just point out some areas that we always look at and we like to take a look at. And but that's a question we always get, is how can we get through, you know, how can we go through these faster? So I'll show you that in a minute. So we start off at the top. So it's in the top left-hand corner. It says the property is sold. And we look at the picture to see it is a ranch. And it also states the type of property a few lines under the address. So we can look there to double-check that. But it is a ranch, so that's good. It's sold for $319,000. So if this is an actual comp, then that looks pretty good. If that seller wants $148,000 and our property could be worth $319,000, wow, that's a pretty big spread. So let's keep on reading down. So underneath the sold price, we look a little bit further down. It gives the days on market. It was only 16 days on market. That's pretty quick, because when we're selling properties, we want to be able to sell them within, or get under contract with having someone buy a property within 30 days, 30 to 45. So 16 days, that's a good comp. Hasn't been on the market for a long period of time. And so let's just go through the description, because you can find out a lot about the property in the description. So if it is a comp, it can give you a little bit more information. So let's just read through this first one here. And it says single level living at its best, completely renovated. Well, that's good, because we're always looking for properties to compare. Well, ours is going to be completely renovated when we're done our property as well. So it says new roof, new septic, new granite with stainless steel appliances, 2 new baths, hardwood floors throughout, spacious family room with fireplace, sunroom, stairs to attic for future expansion, a new lower level with fireplace and walkout, and possibly in-law, 2-car garage, 1.2 acres. So there's a lot of different things here that you know, are desirable or nice about the property, but just in the description we have an idea that it's probably not as comparable as ours, because it has 2 bathrooms. Ours has 1. This has 2 new baths, and it also has an attic to go upstairs for the expansion, brand new lower level, which ours doesn't have right now, and within the $20,000 might have been not included, redoing the basement, and it has a 2-car garage. So that gives us a good description. It is fairly new or recently renovated, which is great, but, you know, it's not totally like ours. And how we can find that out a little bit sooner is we can go through and just look at the key features when we're first going through these properties, then go back to the description. So we can check out, all right, the sold price is this. It is a ranch. then jump right down to where it says interior, and we can look at the different features of the house, and we see right there that it's above grade 1250, below 840, so that means it has almost 1,000 square feet in the basement. That's a lot of extra space to have. And if we go down a little bit further to the building site and utilities, it does have a bigger lot size, about a 20,000 square foot lot, bigger than ours, and it has a two-car garage, which ours only has one. So that would let us know right away, before we have to read through the whole description, whether or not it's comparable to ours. So it's a pretty quick glance to say, all right, yeah, it's much bigger, or it's bigger, has a whole basement redone, has a two-car garage, and so probably not a comparable property, but we're going to look at some other ones, so we would move on to the next one. So let's do that. Let's move on to the next one, which is 4 Lumber Hill Road. And on 4 Lumber Hill Road, that is a ranch, cottage, ranch-style property. It is a sold property, single level. So let's look at the sold price, $180,000. If we look a little underneath that again, you'll see the DOM, which is the days on market. That's 53 days. So now I'm always thinking. Whenever I'm going through the comps, I'm always trying to think to myself, all right, this is definitely different than the last one that I looked at. Maybe this is more comparable to my property, but that's, again, pretty big gap, 180 to 319. So let's see what's going on with this property. So then I'd look at the above-ground living area. It has 1,000 square feet, so smaller than ours and smaller than the last one we looked at. Has a little bit of living area in the basement. It does have a one full bath, no half bath, so that's similar to ours. The lot size is 24,000 square feet, a little smaller than ours. That's not going to have a huge impact on things. But the next thing, if you look down a little bit further, again, when I'm under the building site and utilities, if you look down there under the garage, it says zero. So this property doesn't have any, you know, no, it doesn't have a garage. So that, again, is not comparable to ours. But I'm saying, wow, that's still quite a bit lower, so there must be some other things wrong with this property. And if you do look at the description, you can read through it later, but just a couple of things I want to point out is it says the last line of it says, sellers are under contract to purchase subject to closing on Lumber Hill. So that could mean that the seller is motivated because they're looking to sell, and I mean looking to buy, and they're under contract, and now they need to sell their house, so they need to get rid of it a little bit quicker, so they might have been willing to take a little less of a price just to get it sold. Well, there's some different things there, but the bottom line is it has zero garages, and ours has one. So I'd say 180 is too low, and 319 is too high at this point. That's what I'm thinking in the back of my head. So let's go to the next property, which is 594 Providence Pike. And let's start in the top right-hand corner again. And it says it is a sold property. We can see that right at the top, at the on the top line as where the MLS number is. And we can also see it right under that is we do have a sold price there in the top right-hand corner as well. And this one's $255. All right, interesting. This one's somewhere in between the $180 and the $319. So now I'm saying, yeah, this might be it. So let's go down and look at the features of the property. And this is a 1,400 square foot ranch. And so that is definitely 200 square feet bigger. Has a has a basement, 300 square feet there. It has two full baths. Now something funny about this property, which you know might say more a little bit more about it in the description. We haven't looked there yet, but it says two bedrooms. So two bedrooms. So now I'm kind of surprised, but you know if you're dealing with a 1,400 square foot house, usually they must have just made one big room, or there might be a layout change. But anything usually over around 1,000 square feet or bigger, you're going to be able to get three bedrooms out of it. So, you know, with this particular property, it says two bedrooms. It's not might not be quite as nice as, you know, since it is two bedrooms, someone would have to convert it. But if we keep looking at the different features, the lot size is double the size of ours if you go down a little bit, and it does have a two-car garage. So it's bigger by 200 square feet, plus it has some basement, and it has a two-car garage as well. Sold in 18 days, $255,000. So, but again, not comparable to ours. Let's look at the next one. So the next one is 82 Follett Street. And with 82 Follett Street, this is a sold property. and we are going to see the sale price is 192.5. So again, some higher than that for the low one that was at 180, and then we had the other one 319. We had a 255. This one's 192. So let's see. Maybe this is a comp. So 192.5 sold within 12 days. It has 1,092 square feet above. Ours has a little bit bigger than that. Has a little bit below grade of living area, which is 300 feet. Now the above grade it always counts more than the below grade living area. I mean, it is nice to have that extra area, but the most important part to look at is the above ground living area. So this one, ours is a little bit bigger than this, as is 3-bedroom, is 1-bath, like ours, 11,000 square foot lot, ours is 30,000, so ours is bigger. It does have a 1-car garage, ours has a 1-car garage, and so those are some, you know, so I would say this is pretty comparable. So let's read the description. It says, great opportunity to own in North Smithfield, 3 beds, roof 8 years young. And that's what a lot of times, instead of saying old, people like to put young, so that way, you know, it just looks better, or they think it sounds better. But roof is 8 years young, septic 10 years young, maintenance-free exterior, new furnace, hardwood floors throughout, easy access, call today. So ours is a little bit better than this, but not a lot. And so this could definitely be a comp for the property, 192.5. And so let's keep that one in the back of our head. All right, so now let's go to the next one, which is 921 Woonsocket Hill Road. And this is another sold comp. It sold for $200,000. And let's see here. It is, wow. If you look down, it sold in 53 days. And then if you look at the features of it, it is, well, before you even get to that, if you look under the general information, you know, you always want to skim that section area when you're going down because you want to make sure that none of these are selected. And for this one, this is actually a bank REO. It says bank REO bank owned, yes. So, again, you're looking at the general information right under where the description is, and it says yes on here. So, typically, bank REO is going to need work to it. And, I mean, this one, that would make a lot of sense on because this has almost 1,600 square feet above living area, where ours is only 12. It has over 1,000 below, has 2 full baths, and, you know, and basically, so that's a pretty big property. And it does have a large lot, 63,000, double the size of ours, but it has no garages. So not really, not comparable to ours, but it makes sense why maybe this sold for a lower price right now because it is a bank REO. I mean, having no garages could have something to do with that as well. But obviously this is a pretty big property with 1,600 above, 1,000 square foot below, but this is not comparable to ours. And sometimes, you see in his comps, and there's, you know, a decent amount of comps, but they're kind of all over the place. So that's what Craig was talking about earlier as we're going through these. Sometimes it could be a challenge. I mean, in the perfect world sometimes, with case studies that you might be given, I mean, every time we do a case study, we try to throw a little curveball in there because we want to show you how to think, and we want to, you know, sometimes it's more of an art than a science. So we like to point out some of these things and like to go through things because you're not always going to get perfect comps, you know. So, and you won't know how to handle those situations, but by going some of these, it's going to help you on how to get through these and how to think through them. And, you know, and one of the best ways to do that is do wholesale because now you don't have to worry how accurate your after repair value is. Your cash buyer will have to worry about that because he's the one, he or she will be selling to the end buyer. All right, so let's keep going. So now we're on 1 Birch Hill Avenue, and it is a sold comp. If you look at the top, it is a ranch property. Sold for $219. All right, that's right in the middle range there. It was on the market for 182 days. Well, that seems like it's a decent amount of time that it was on the market. So let's keep reading down. It's a 1,040 square feet above ground living area, none below. Ours is, again, 1,200, so that's ours is a little bit nicer. It has 3 beds, 1 bath. That's great. Ours is the same as that. Has only a 10,000 square foot lot, or almost 11. Ours is 31. And then we have a 1-car garage, and ours is a 1-car garage. So let's read the description. And the description says, perfectly priced corner lot with in-ground pool, oversized garage, breezeway, and spacious living area, updated electrical, new hot water, make your offer today, and an excellent first-time home. So, you know, it is comparable. This has a pool. Now, in New England, sometimes it's a plus, sometimes it's a minus, because up here, you only get a few months to be able to use your pool, and people sometimes will buy it and fill them in, and then other people love to have it. So, everything else is pretty comparable with this property, the main attributes of the property, so this could actually be used as a comp. And again, we're wholesaling it anyway, but this is good. This is the highest one we've seen that was close to ours at 219. So this is definitely, so far, one of the ones we'd want to use and, you know, show our cash buyers. So that way we could show them why we could justify a 219 or higher price. So that could be a potential comp. Let's go to the next one. And the next one is a sold comp, and that's 882 Black Plain Road, North Smithfield. So now I'm thinking, I just sold one for 219, and so now I see this one for 181, and so that kind of throws me off a little bit and says, all right, well, most likely not a comp, and let's look a little bit further down, and it's a 0 days on the market. So that's interesting. So sometimes that can mean that it sold as soon as they put it on the market, or the realtor showed people the property before they listed it. So that's why there's 0 days on the market. Let's look at just the above-ground living area just to see if it is comparable or not. It has 1,008, so above-ground living area. Ours is 12 again, so ours is about 200 square feet bigger. The lot size is 44,000, a little bit bigger than ours. Zero garages. So not really comparable. It is 181,000. Now this one's a little bit interesting. It looks like someone put it into the system because it wasn't, a realtor that might have sold this the way they put it in here. It says private sales entered for comparable purposes only. Three bedroom, one bath ranch set over 1 acre, North Smithfield. Estate sale sold as is. So even though it sold for a lesser price, it was sold as is. Did need some work. So, again, not really comparable to us. And someone was still willing to pay $181,000 for it, so we're looking to pay like $148,000 for ours. And so it just kind of gives you another reference point where this one has no garage, 1,000 square feet, sold that is, needs work, and someone paid $181,000 for it. So you can always keep that in the back of your head as well. So let's look at the next one. The next one is a sold property, 1520 Providence Pike in North Smithfield, sold price $131,000. All right. Now I'm thinking that's a lot different than the 219, so let's see what's going on here. Days on market, one. It is 1,200 square feet like ours, three bed, one bath. Our lot size is bigger. It does have a one-car garage. So if I was just comparing it on above-ground living area, number of bedrooms and baths, and it has a one-car garage. Its lot's a little bit small, so they might get a little bit less. I would say, yeah, this could be a potential comparable. But, it's a bank REO. So under general information, right under the picture, it says bank REO, yes. And, when the numbers don't make sense, read the description. A lot of times that's going to tell you why, especially if all the key features check out, like that I just mentioned, then that's usually going to give you more insight of what's going on with the property and why it's listed for such a low price. It says offers are subject to two conditions of approval, communication, two bidders with results, and next steps. So, but it is a bank REO property. We know it's going to need some work. So, again, not something we would use. So, that's it for our sold comps. So, by looking at those, and so we don't really have a lot of comps to justify an after repair value. We have that 219, which I think is the closest. And so let's go back to that in a minute. Let's just take a look at the active or the ones that are under contract. So this one says active. The next comp that we have is an active under contract / inspection period and 219. So just let's look at this one, because again, we're not the ones that are going to be retailing it. We're going to be selling it to the cash buyers. So I'm kind of curious to see what's on the market right now. And not that we'll know the total sale price, because right now They didn't close on the property. So the last list price on this one was $219,900, and it has a lot of information on here. Like, it is the same square footage as ours. It's 84 square foot bigger, which isn't a lot. It does say it's a 2/3-bedroom home. So let's read through the description. It says, very nice one-level ranch with loads of potential. 2-3-bedroom home, updated with vinyl siding, newer roof, septic, new kitchen and baths, maintenance-free siding, updated windows. Layout is on the left side of the home, separate entrance at ground level to what could be a separate wing for potential in-law rooms, bedroom, bath and walk-in shower, and second-floor bedroom or storage. Directly off this area is fully updated kitchen, complete with LG appliance and wood stove. A hallway leads to 2 bedrooms and a full bath with laundry. A door to read deck is off the kitchen. Given the large lot and the plenty of rear setback, a rear addition could be very feasible. Sits on a large lot, 0.86 acres, that is wooded, circular drive, offers a ton of off-street parking. Call for showing today. And some people put a ton in there. They're trying to entice people to see the property, but, you know, that's what someone, you know, if once they've done rehabbing it, could look like. And our property actually has a one-car garage where this has none. The next property is sold is under contract for $239,000. And again, this could be to help justify your offer or your, you know, what you're trying to sell this to your cash buyers for, because, you know, this is another comparable property that's on the market that's under contract right now, and the list price was $239,000. Again, we don't buy the way we sell. So when we're talking to other cash buyers, we need to justify why we're selling it to them, and we need to show them all the best comps that this could potentially sell for, you know, and it's their job, and they have to do their due diligence and see what they think it is. But if I have good comps that are selling higher than what I think I'm telling them, then I'm going to show them. So that way now it can just help me get the price that I'm looking to get. So that's another one that you'd want to look at or keep an eye on. Black Plain Road is a property that is active that sold for $139,000. So that's not really going to be a comparable for us or one that we could use. So just going back and looking at all the sold comps, I mean, we have 319, 180, 255, the 192, that could be a specific comp. Now, if we were buying this ourselves, then, you know, we'd want to err on the side of caution and be more somewhere probably between the fourth comp, which is 82 Follett Street, which sold for $192,000, and the $219,000, somewhere in there, that we would want to, have our after repair value. We would want to probably be a little bit more conservative than the $219,000. But since we're wholesaling the property, we can justify that with some of the sold properties. Because if we look at comp number 6, 1 Birch Hill Avenue, ours is 200 square feet bigger. We have a bigger lot than that property. And, so we should be able to, and in this that property is $219,000, so we could have a good chance of, or the cash buyer could have a good chance of getting $219,000 for the property. So out of all these properties, that's what we would use for the after repair value, so we could do the analysis for our cash buyer. And if things don't work out with the cash buyers, then guess what? We can get out of the contract. So once you start showing your cash buyers the property, then you'll have a good idea, you know, if the numbers are going to work or they're not going to work. So let's go through the numbers, and that way we can go through some more of the thought process and how you would go through this. And so bring out your offer calculation sheet. And for this, like I said, we're going to use an after repair value. I put $220,000 in there. $219,900 was the sold price for that property. And again, we don't have three solid comps at $219,900. We have a couple actives. Besides the $219,900 sold comp, we have a couple other properties that sold more around the $200,000 range, but some of them weren't as nice. So we're justifying $219,900 or $220,000 to our cash buyer as the after repair value. So that's what we're going to use for our analysis. So let's go down the offer calculation worksheet and see what our maximum allowable offer could be. So we have a $220,000 after repair value. We have a rehab number of $20,000. then that was pulled from the case study sheet. We have a closing cost of $2,500. We have a closing cost at sale of $1,500. We have insurance of $1,800. That was from the what we provided as well. And then we have a taxes of $1,600. Now you might say, hey, I thought the taxes were $32. Well, what we have to do is, since we're assuming, and most of your cash buyers will assume that they're holding it for 6 months, and by holding it for 6 months, this is how they're going to do all their closing holding costs. And we have $1,600 for taxes because, again, it's $3,200 in the case study sheet. We have to use half of that number. So let's keep going down the list. We have $1,200 for utilities. We have interest payments. The way we're calculating that is that was in the case study as well. We're assuming a 12% interest rate, 75% loan to value. That will give us $9,900 for the interest payments. Broker commission, we're assuming 5% of the sales price, which is $11,000. We're assuming a $20,000 profit for the cash buyer. We have to factor in a $5,000 wholesale fee for ourselves. So under the other column, that's where you'd put in your wholesale fee, $5,000. And so that's going to give you a subtotal cost of $74,500. And then a purchase price, a maximum allowable offer, of $145,500. So that's our max offer. And so if we look at what the seller is willing to accept, we say, well, the seller won't take any less than $148,000. So let's go through the questions. It says, what's the maximum price you can pay for the property? Well, the maximum price we can pay for the property, according to our analysis, is $145,500. The seller won't take any less than $148,000. So would you get the property under contract at the price the owner will accept? And some of you, I'm sure, came up with yes, and some no. Maybe the newer ones at the beginning, if you've been on some of our other wholesale calls, the reason why we would say yes, we would still get under contract, is because we really don't know all the exact numbers our cash buyers are going to use. We are analyzing the property on some general rules of thumb on how to analyze it and what most people are going to have to factor in, but some of these cash buyers are going to have some different costs, right? Some of them could do the rehab for less if they do some of the work themselves. There's people out there that do some of the work themselves, so they save money there. They might not have to pay 12% interest. They might be taking the money off their equity line and paying 4% interest, you know, or less than that. So if we factored in $9,900 for interest payments, maybe they're paying $5,000 less than that. They could be a realtor. And a realtor that flips properties, so maybe they could save on half the commission, which could be $5,000. We don't know exactly, you know, how all the cash buyers are going to exactly do their numbers, so we need to do our numbers what makes sense and to put a good offer in where someone could make money on it. And if it's anywhere close, then you want to lock it up and get control of the property. You want to get it under contract. So we would still get it under contract for the $145,000 and $500 because we still would be most likely be able to sell it to our cash buyers, because we had done that a lot of times that it happened to us. We get under contract, we'll go out and we'll market it. Now you might going to have to market it at a higher price because now you're saying, okay, the seller said $148,000 and we're paying $145,000. Well, our maximum offer was $145,500, assuming that we're getting a $5,000 fee. So that just means that, you can market. That's the nice thing about wholesaling, is you can market it for whatever price you want. You can add $10,000 on just to test the waters with your cash buyers, $10,000 on to whatever price that you're paying for it. So maybe you could market the property, at the $10,000 more than you paid for it. So that way You can make $10,000. Sometimes it works. Sometimes people want to pay that. And if not, then the cash buyer is going to tell you. They're going to say, hey, listen, you know what? I really like the property. I want to do some business with you, but unfortunately, I just can't make the numbers work. I need to pay $3,000 or $4,000 less for this property in order to make the numbers work. And at that point in time, sometimes you're going to be able to do it, and sometimes you're not. So you just got to make a judgment call at that proper time. But you always want to put a little bit of buffer in there when you're marketing to your cash buyers, so that way you can make, you know, at least the wholesale fee that we factored in. So, but that's how you go through the analysis. You need to, when you're wholesaling, you need to have some type of base or a starting point so that you can analyze the deal. Because, like I mentioned earlier, every cash buyer uses a little bit different formula in how they calculate their numbers. But a lot of times, what we found is we're more conservative. We're conservative investors, so we're factoring in things, and we want to make sure we definitely hit our numbers, have buffers on things, where a lot of people out there, they're willing to push the numbers a lot. So that's why anytime you have something that's even close to your maximum offer, you know, within $5,000 or $10,000 of it, you're going to want to get it under contract. All right. So, Craig, how about could you go over how to fill out the assignment contract?
Yes, so the assignment contract is very simple. Now that we've done all the hard work, Don just took you through a great example of, you know, going through and doing the analysis, giving you some reasons why to get some of these properties under contract, test out your cash buyers list, see if this is something that they might bite on. So let's assume that you did that, somebody bid on it, and now you're going to take the contract that you used to get under contract, and you need to assign that contract. I rarely would ever recommend doing a double closing, and I know I might be speaking a foreign language by even bringing that up, but I think it's really important to understand that, you know, for most of the time, 99% of the time, you should be doing an assignment. So getting the property under contract, assigning the right to purchase, which is what you have in the contract, a regular purchase and sales agreement gives you that right to purchase it at the agreed upon price, and then you're assigning that right to somebody else and collecting a fee as a result. So in this case, we've got the assignment contract, and it's very simple. It's only one page. It doesn't need to be very very cumbersome because the contract covers all the detail. This is just the agreement or contract that assigns or transfers that right, and it goes like this. So in the first line section here, it's going to be Integrity Real Estate LLC, which is you. So you are the assignor in this case, and you're assigning this to Vector Properties. That's the cash buyer. So the first spot is going to be you, assigns to the cash buyer, the contract on, and then you put the address of the property that you're assigning the contract on. And then in the assignment contract, you have to state what contract you're referring to. So you can refer to a contract between Integrity Real Estate LLC, which is you. That's going to go in that blank after the word between. And Margie Sale, who is the owner. So this is the original contract between both of you, and it's dated 9/25/17. So you're going to have to show them the contract that you have in this case. So you can't it's that when you sign a contract, they're going to get the contract because basically that's what they're buying is the contract. You're not really selling real estate. You're just selling the ability to buy this contract and buy this property. So the next line says the contract is being assigned for the sum of $5,000. So that's the contract assignment amount. And then the new buyer has provided the original buyer with a $2,500 as a non-refundable deposit. The balance of the assignment fee is due at closing. So the balance in this case would be $2,500. So get $2,500 now, $2,500 at closing. That's fairly typical. If you can get at least half your fee, and if you have to put up a sizable deposit for some reason, make sure you get your deposit as well as, you know, so you'd have to get the deposit to be replaced. So let's say you put up a $5,000 deposit, you know, to buy this property. Well, they would need to give you that $5,000 because now they would be in possession of that $5,000 deposit. And let's say that, you know, you want to make $5,000 and you'll collect $2,500 now. So you're really going to get $7,500 from them if that were the case. That's not dictated or spelled out here, but it's really important that you get credit for that deposit. Now, if the deposit's $100, you know, if you never get the $100 and you get the $5,000, probably not a big deal. But just remember that the money you put up for deposit, they're going to get your ultimate cash buyer. They're the ones that are going to get credit for that at the closing. So you need to make sure that you get credit for that as well, depending on how much it is. The new buyer shall close on the original purchase contract on or before 10/6/2017 at the law office of, and this is where you would put your attorney or your title company. The next line says, time is of the essence. What that means is that you cannot extend this. You must close on or before that date, or that's it. It's over. You know, so that's what time of the essence means. Be very careful agreeing to time is of the essence, because literally that can end that contract, and now they could go get the contract to somebody else. So certainly it's an advantage when you have it in your contract when you're the seller or you're the assignor, but you know, not when you're the assignee or not in a situation where you're the buyer, and that's one of the terms of the deal. You got to be very, very careful in that sort of situation. So then below that, you're going to have the assignor, which is you, and the date, and then the assignee is going to sign and then put the date. So the contract is fairly straightforward, fairly simple. There's not a lot, you know, to fill in here, but I thought it was important that we went through and showed you what went in each of these blanks, just to make it easy to be able to move forward to do this. Because, you know, and again, one disclaimer I'll make is that, you know, depending upon your, you know, geographic market, it's probably really important to have this assignment contract reviewed by an attorney. Make sure that it's in compliance with any local or state laws that you might have, so that way you're not in jeopardy of having an issue here. Make sure, you know, really any contract, not just, you know, pertaining to this particular contract or assignment contract, but anytime you sign anything or you're given, you know, or have the ability to review, you know, a blank contract, and, you know, just don't take it as something you can go ahead and use. It's going to be really important that you have this reviewed, so you make sure that it's applicable in your state. Some states have various items that need to be a part of a contract. So, for instance, in our state, every contract must have a 10 business day, so only weekdays, no weekends, no holidays, 10-day inspection period. So it really kind of works out to more like 2 weeks. And every contract has to have that. If it doesn't have it, it's not a valid contract, because that's what the state law says that it must have. So just keep in mind that, you know, you want to make sure you're in compliance. You know, again, you don't ever want to have an issue with a contract where you're going to court. But you want to make sure that if you ever did have to do that, that, you know, you would win. Rarely would I want to defend myself against a homeowner that thought I, you know, totally took advantage of them or something. But in any other case, if it was investor, you know, against investor, I would certainly defend myself. But in most cases, if it was you're fighting over your profit of $5,000, give the $5,000 back. It's not worth the time, effort, and energy, even if you are right. But again, that's legal advice. You should only get that from an attorney. But I'm trying to give you a little business advice, and it's just easier to not get yourself, you know, caught in situations that are going to cause you to lose a lot of time. It's much easier to just go out and do some more marketing, get another deal, and make that $5,000 back. You know, so again, every situation is different. Consult the proper legal person and legal advice, you know, from your team members. But most importantly, you know, I bring it up again because I think it's important. We're providing you an assignment contract here. Don't use it unless you have it reviewed by an attorney in your state, so you know that it's legal to use and there's nothing that needs to be added for further protection or just further to make it legal. So, but that's going to wrap up our call for this evening. I think the great part about going through this is that, you know, hopefully we're able to release some of the fear or some of the doubts or some of the concern of can you do this, you know, and is it possible? And, you know, maybe there was that missing question or missing link or missing item that forced you to be in a situation where you really didn't, you know, understand exactly what to do or how to go about it. So I just think it's really important that we have, when we have these calls, to, you know, get a lot out of this, you know, case study, because these are real situations that, you know, can help you to understand what to do. You know, real comparables, you know, trying to determine things. That's the hardest thing, determining the rehab and determining the after repair value. Once you get that down pretty well, it's pretty hard to make a mistake. Only if you let your emotions involved are you going to have that, you know, happen to you. So, you know, the homework for tonight is to take anything that you learned here in this call, put it in your business, implement it, you know, get it to improve your business. There's got to be some things here that you were able to understand or learn as a result. And I just think it's really important in a call like this to take those pieces, you know, plug them in. That way it's going to make it easier for you to go out and do business and make some money. So take this information, move forward, go out there, make some offers, build up your cash buyers list, get some properties under contract, and go make some money. And we'll see you at the top. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.